Welcome, and thank you for joining us today for There Is a Hope, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Mark Howard, pastor of Christ Community Church in Bells, Tennessee. These next few minutes could very well be a divine appointment the Lord has for your life, as you hear what He has to say to you personally, and as you trust in the hope that He offers to you in Jesus Christ. And now, let's join Dr. Howard as he shares God's Word with us today.
And welcome in once again to There's a Hope podcast. My name is Mark Howard, and I'm grateful you've tuned in today because of so much that has happened in the last 7 days. But something that's just hot off the press that just excited my heart very early this morning in talking to a dear brother. He was sharing with me about an individual that he has known, and she was sharing her life story with him recently, and what a story she had as it related to the Word of God. I'll just give you a brief synopsis of what happened. This girl at 19 years of age came home to where her mother was living, and a man met her at the door who was the ex-boyfriend of her mother, and he told the 19-year-old young woman, "I have murdered your mother," and he was threatening to put her inside the trunk of a car, most likely where she would never be found, never be seen again until she died. She begged him to put her in a closet there in that apartment, and he did. But the next thing he did took my breath away. He nailed the door shut with 100 nails, a small coat closet, and he left her. This all happened at 11 o'clock at night. It took her until 5 a.m. the next morning to dig herself out of that closet. There was a rack in that closet that held clothes. She got that off the wall, and she began to go to work. She didn't give up, but listen to this. You know what got her through? He shared with me that this woman shared with him that entire night while she was working to get out of that closet because she wanted to live, she continually, over and over, repeated the words of Psalm chapter 23. And we talked about that last week. The Lord is my shepherd. I want you to think about such a situation like that. What would any of us do? She turned to the Word of God. And I am so looking forward to hearing her entire story one day. And I'll share with you right now when I find out that that's going to be on one of his podcasts soon. I'll give you the opportunity to be able to tune into that podcast and be blessed by a miracle story. So we're all about the Word of God here on There's a Hope podcast. And we use the word hope because that gives us a confident expectation that we can trust in the Word of God and in the promises of God. And today in our continuous study about learning how to listen to the Lord, we've reached a point that we need to put on the brakes and pull over to the side of the road and look deeper into this matter of what God really is saying to us when He asks us to listen to Him. And you're going to be amazed to find out what God is really saying when He says, "Listen to me." It's not what you think, and it certainly was not what I thought. But I will tell you this, it's one of the most freeing truths that God has ever led me to in His Word outside of being saved. And I can share with you today, if every Christian would tune into this truth, it would radically change every believer's life and what it truly means to listen to God. Now let's talk a minute about listening to God. If you're just joining us here on the podcast, you can go back and go through all the teachings we've been doing for about the last 4 or 5 weeks. But just briefly, the word listen in the Bible means to listen. It means to hear. It means to hearken. It means to give our ear to. It means to pay close attention. And it also means to give respectful attention to. And throughout the Old Testament, on into the New Testament, and even after Jesus went back to heaven, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who was sent into our lives when we were saved, the message of listening to God has never changed. I mean, it hit me not long ago that when Jesus was on this earth, He never went around just giving positive self-talks or feel-good sermons. No, the Bible says over in John chapter 6 and verse 63, concerning what Jesus was speaking, and this is at all times when He was speaking. John 6, 63. You might want to mark this verse in your Bible and spend some time meditating on what the Lord was saying. John chapter 6, verse 63, "The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. And yet there are some of you who do not believe." But the words Jesus spoke, they're spirit and life. So the Word of God is both spirit and life to us Let that sink in today. It's not death to us. I've never read this book and thought, boy, what a dull book. No, this book is becoming more open and more exciting to me every day as I am giving time to what God is saying. Let's go over to the book of Genesis, because I want us to do an in-depth study today for a few moments before we go over to the book of Psalm 46, where we left off last week. But this matter of listening to the Lord, where does it all begin? Well, it's in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, and I want to read verse 8. We'll start there. And by the way, I would encourage you to get something to mark in your Bible with and to circle some words today, and you're going to see what might have looked like a jigsaw puzzle. You're going to be able to see all the pieces come together as what really is behind when the Lord asks us to listen to Him. Now, this is when Adam and Eve had listened to the serpent and not listened to God. And in chapter 3 of Genesis in verse 8, it says, "Then the man and his wife heard," and I would circle that word right there. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking. They heard the sound of the Lord God in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to man, "Where are you?" And Adam answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Now, they heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking. You say, explain that. All I can share with you is, if you spend enough time with someone listening, then without even seeing their face, there are times where you will know that it's that person, because you spent enough time listening to them. You don't have to see their face, just hear their voice, listen to their footsteps, and without a doubt, you know who's in your presence. I want to give you an interesting illustration about this, about Adam and Eve hearing the sound of the Lord God as he was walking. A number of years ago, when I was with my wife early one morning at the university where we went to college, a number of years earlier, before that time, and my wife was now teaching at that university, they had a wellness center there, and we would go Monday through Friday early in the morning to work out before we went to work. And we would get there first thing so we could get our workout done and get home while people would come in for hours after that. But normally, if you got there early, there weren't many people around. And you got to know people. Now, this is the interesting thing. I just didn't get to know people by the way they talked, but I also got to know people by the way they walked. I mean, literally, the way they walked. You say, where are you going with this? Well, here's the story. I was in the back part of the workout center where the free weights were, and I didn't know this at the time. I had a neck issue, but I did not know how serious that neck issue was, but I was able to continue to lift weights, and I was there all by myself. And I said to myself, you know, you probably ought to have what they call a spotter just in case you get in trouble. But I thought, I don't have time. Nobody's coming in. So I began to get on the bench and do chest presses with a barbell and weights on each side, and I would add continuously more weights as I went along. And at some point in doing my sets, I overloaded the bar, but I thought, I can at least get maybe two or three reps out of this, and then I'll quit. And I got the first rep up and slowly lowered it down. But then when I went to do the second rep, I quickly realized I was in trouble, because as I began to exhale and push the bar up, all of a sudden that bar, I realized, was too heavy for me to handle. But there was so much weight on the bar, I could not get it to go to the right or to the left because of this weakness that was in my neck. And I literally thought, I'm about to die, because as that came down on my chest, I began to experience fear. And when you get in a position of fear like that, the proper breathing technique goes away. And I literally thought my life was fixing to be over and the lights were going to be turned out on me. There was no one back there to help me. And I began to cry out, somebody help me. I'm not talking out loud because I couldn't get any breath out, but in my mind, I was just screaming inside, I need help. But the weight was getting more pronounced on my chest. And all of a sudden, I heard the door open at the front of the wellness center. And as soon as I heard the door open, I didn't hear a word said, but I could hear the footsteps. And all of a sudden, it hit me. I know those footsteps, because there's a guy that had become a dear friend of mine there in that wellness center. And I could hear those footsteps begin to pick up a lot of speed. And before I knew it, I could not see the individual, but his hands came down to my chest and wrapped around that bar. And literally, he pulled that weight off of my chest and set it back on the rack. I heard the steps, and I knew that Brian was in the room. And God sent Brian to rescue me. But I was listening. Is there not someone that can help me? I thought to myself, I'll forever be indebted to him. You want the real ending of the story? It wasn't a long, long time until down the road, he and I both ended up at another gym where we worked out independent of each other. You see, I could not work out with Brian. Brian didn't have an ounce of fat on his body. Brian was one of the most fit, muscular guys I had ever been around in my life. But one day, Brian stopped me in the gym, and he said he needed to talk to me. And I heard the greatest story I could have ever heard that day, how Brian had come to know Jesus Christ in his life and had surrendered his entire life to Christ and had become a child of God. And he has been a dear brother ever since. But I'm just sharing that illustration with you to say to you that Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking. That is the word in the Hebrew language for listen. It is so important that we listen to God. Because if we're not listening to God, we're opening ourselves up to listen to the enemy. And he's on standby at all times. And remember, I shared with you last week, the enemy's not going to share anything with you but that it is an absolute, total lie. Jesus said he is a liar. When are we going to start believing that? There's nothing good he's going to share with us. No truth he'll ever share with us. Even when he tempted Jesus, when Jesus was out in the wilderness, he used scripture to tempt Jesus, but he would twist the scripture and never give the entire word of God to Jesus. He's a liar and the father of lies. So listening, how important is it? Look over in Psalm chapter 81. How important is it that God's people listen to him? And what happens when we do not listen to the Lord? And we're talking about getting along with God every day and spending time with him in his word alone. Nothing else going on. Just you and the Lord together. You sit down and say to him, I'm here to listen to you today. I'm not here to read my Bible. I'm here to listen to you. Because the word of God is not an end in itself. It is the means to an end of taking us to where we know Jesus intimately in our life. Psalm 81 verse 8, Hear, O my people, and I will warn you, if you would but listen to me, O Israel. This is the Lord saying this to the Israelites. If you would but listen to me, O Israel, you shall have no foreign gods among you. You shall not bow down to an alien god. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. If my people would but listen to me, the Lord says, if Israel would only follow my ways. If you look from verse 8 to verse 12, the Lord, he mentions three times about them listening to him. So we could say, well, here's some applicable truth I can take out of the word of God. Number one, I need to listen to God. Number two, according to verse 11, I need to submit to God. Number three, according to verse 13, I need to follow God's ways. In other words, I need to be obedient to God, listen to God, submit to God, follow his ways, be obedient to him. And if you go over to Jeremiah chapter 7 and Jeremiah chapter 9, the Lord talks about how he wanted the people to listen to him, but the people turned to idols and would not listen to him. Over and over and over he said that until he finally said to them, I'm bringing judgment upon you. The same judgment I brought on the northern kingdom, it's about to happen to you because I'm sending Babylon down to destroy the temple, get it out of my sight. Since you love idols and foreign gods so much, I'm going to send you to a place that that's all they worship. So once again, when we think of listening, we think about hearing, we think about paying close attention, being respectful to whoever is talking to us and whatever they're saying. But this is the key that unlocked the door about the word listening. And we've also talked about being silent before God. And here in Psalm 46, we're going to learn about being still before God. That's all a part of listening, but there's a part that's been left out. Now, it's always been in the Word of God, but it has been left out. I've never heard this addressed in my entire life. Up until about a year ago. But I didn't really take it seriously until here recently. Because the Lord finally put it out there where I could not say, I don't know what you're talking about anymore. And here's the truth. We are all very familiar with the word listen and hear. And those words are used in the Word of God. But did you know we're also all familiar with the word obey and obedience? Because we read that word in the Bible. But here's the catch. There is no word in the Hebrew language for just the word itself, obey. There's a Hebrew word for listen. There's a Hebrew word for hear and paying close attention, yes. But there is not a Hebrew word for obey. Let me take you back to Genesis chapter 22, because you're going to see the word obey. But then you're going to sit there and say, well, wait a minute, Mark said in the Hebrew language, there's not a word for obey. So how come they're using a word that there's not a word for obey in the Word of God, in the Old Testament? Genesis 22, this is when Abraham was tested and he offered up his son Isaac. Let me start in verse 15. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, through your seed, all nations on earth will be blessed. Keep reading. Because you have obeyed me. There's the word. God said, Abraham, you obeyed me. I'm going to bless you for that. But wait a minute, there's not a word in the Old Testament for the word obey. So what's it doing in there? Well, let's keep reading. Exodus chapter 19. That's not just one verse that stands alone, but Exodus chapter 19. Israel had been on their journey after they left Egypt for about 3 months, and the Lord called Moses up to the mountain, and he says in verse 4, you yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. In other words, the Lord said, I brought you out to know me. That was the very purpose he brought them out for, to know him, not just to take them to a promised land. He brought them out to know him. Keep reading. Now, if you obey me fully, there it is again, and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. If you obey me, or some translations say, if you hear my voice. Well, which is it, Mark, hear my voice or obey me? Hang on. Let's go to one more passage. 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. What a story this is. You'll remember Saul was the first king, anointed by Samuel. And Samuel said to Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1, I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is the Lord's message. This is not Samuel's message. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Now go attack the Amalekites. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites. Now, please do not miss this. Go attack them and totally destroy them. They had reached the point that they were not going to repent. They were not going to turn to the Lord. And the Lord said, go destroy those people. Destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. Verse 7, then Saul attacked the Amalekites. Verse 8, he took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the cattle, the fat calves and the lambs, everything that was good. They saved everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak they totally destroyed. That's when the word of the Lord came to Samuel and said, I'm grieved that I made Saul king because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Samuel was troubled and he cried out to the Lord all that night. It broke his heart. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and he went to meet Saul. But he was told Saul had gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone on down to Gilgal. This is what Saul thought about himself. But what God thought about Saul, the two didn't line up. When Samuel reached him, verse 13, Saul said, the Lord bless you, I have carried out the Lord's instructions. But Samuel said, what then is the bleating of the sheep in my ears? What's that noise? What is this lowing of the cattle I hear? And Saul answered, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest. He was just digging the hole deeper and deeper. Now he's blaming it on other people. And what did Samuel say to Saul? Exclamation point. Stop. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. Tell me, Saul replied. What arrogance. Samuel said, although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission, saying, go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Make war on them until you have wiped them out. Why did you not obey? There's the word. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned to me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. But Samuel replied, don't miss these verses. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. So here we are. We've got a problem. The Bible says listen, and there's a word for listen, but you won't find a word by itself for the word obey. The Bible in the Old Testament has a word for the word listen or hear, but in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew language, there is not a separate word for the word obey. So how can we keep reading the word obey, 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 when there's not a word for the one word obey in the Hebrew language? Who's making all this up? Who's inserting this word? One last scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's start in verse 3. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Now, these next two verses is what is known as the Shema to Jewish people. Because Jews, every morning and every evening at the service, they pray this prayer to God, and they've done it for centuries. And it gets its name from the first word in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. The word hear is Shema. It says, hear, O Israel. The word hear means to listen. Hear, O Israel. Listen. Listen to what? Here we go. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Those two verses make up the Shema. Now let's keep in mind again the word listen, hear, pay attention to, focus on, understand, give your undivided attention to. That's what the word listen means in the Hebrew language. But there's one more word that the word Shema is defined by. What's that word, Mark? It's the word obey. When you read the word listen in the Old Testament, or you read the word hear in the Hebrew language, Shema, when you read also the word obey, same word, Shema. In other words, God's word tells us that listening and obedience to what he says are two sides of the same coin. Let me say that one more time. In the Word of God, listening and obeying are the same word. Now, this is what troubled me when the Lord made this so clear to my heart recently. When I look back over the days that I have grown up and I have observed Christianity, I truly believe deep down in my heart that this is one of the great downfalls of what's happened to Christians in their lives. Here's the way that we look at the word listen and all it's defined by. We listen to the Word of God. We hear the Word of God. We are confronted with the Word of God. That's one thing. But then when it comes to obeying the Word of God, here's how so many people have justified their way of responding to God's Word. Lord, I hear that verse. I hear what that Bible teacher said. I read this in a Christian book. But Lord, I tell you what, I'm going to think about that. I'm going to take a few weeks, few months, and just kind of consider what you're saying. You say, what do you mean? In other words, I'm not going to make a commitment right now to obey what I hear that you're saying to my life. Because right now, I don't see the possibility of that fitting into my lifestyle. And I like my lifestyle, and I am comfortable with my life, and I don't need anybody invading my privacy and the way I want to live and do Christianity. You see, when God looks at this word, he sees it from a totally different angle. He is saying to us, when I say, listen to me, I am also saying to you, respond by being obedient to me. You cannot divide the two words up. You can't put them in separate camps. So in other words, if we're going to listen to God say something, but we in our hearts choose that we don't want to be a doer of that word, we're really not listening. Because listen means to obey. And obey means that you have listened. The Christian life, according to the Word of God, does not allow us to have it both ways. And this kind of describes to me what I have heard for decades now in my life. People giving you their testimony. Oh, when did you get saved? Oh, well, I asked Jesus to be my Savior when I was X number of years old. I remember where I was when that happened. But I've not decided yet to let Him be Lord of my life. You hear what I'm saying? I ask Him to save me, but I'm not ready for that lordship thing that I read about, or hear people talk about. No, I don't need a Lord. I don't need a boss. I've done a good job with my life, but I need that Savior part now. I don't want to go to hell. You know what the problem with that is? You can't pick and choose what part of Jesus you want and call that salvation. It's all or none. People say, oh, the Savior part's the easy part. Really? Number one, we've got to humble ourselves and see ourselves as incapable of changing our life. We are in desperate trouble when we see who we really are before God. Holy God. Sinners. Paul describes us in Ephesians 2 as dead in our transgressions and sins. He describes us as following the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air and the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, following its desires and thoughts. And by nature, we were objects of God's wrath. That's how God sees mankind without His Son Jesus. But what about this matter of Jesus being Lord of my life? I thought I could deal with that later on down the road. I've heard people use the terminology, well, I decided to make Jesus Lord of my life. You can't make Jesus Lord of your life. I can't make Jesus Lord of my life. I yield to Him. I surrender to Him. I say I give up. I can't do this. You are Lord. And if you think you can have Jesus as Savior and not as Lord and be saved, you need to go back and read the Scripture. I'll give you a few. And they're pretty clear. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. See, we need a Lord in our life. We need the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. We have blown it before we come to Christ. We've tried our best and we've made a mess of it. We need a new boss, a new ruler, a new Lord in our life. Verse 9 of Romans chapter 10, that if you will confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Don't confess Him as Lord, can't be saved. If you're of the opinion, well, I can get that Savior part down, I can get my ticket to heaven, but the Lordship part down, no, I'm not going to choose to go that direction. I would encourage any of us here today to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you unless, of course, you fail the test? See, back during New Testament days, the Jews who were coming to Jesus had to be willing to confess that Jesus is the Christ. That meant He is the Messiah. Most of the Jewish people were looking for a political Messiah, but that's not the Messiah that was talked about by the prophets that was going to come to die for the sins of this world. To die for your sins and my sins. I'll close out with this. And this truth of listening and obeying has helped me to understand more the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. See, you can have the right vocabulary and still go to hell. These are the words of Jesus. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And if you think that was a one-time shot where Jesus said that, go down to verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. Down to verse 26. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man. I mean, the very first thing Jesus says, if you want to be saved, is repent. In fact, if you want to go to the first message that Jesus ever preached, go to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And one more verse, if you would go back to the book of Acts chapter 20, when Paul was talking to the leadership of the church at Ephesus, because that was the last time he would see them, and then he got on a boat and he went on to Jerusalem. But he told those people that day in Acts 20, verse 20, you know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly, and from house to house I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. There's the Lordship of Christ, and there's the Saviorhood of Christ right there. That's what Paul preached, repentance toward God. And so Jesus said, you've got to be willing to do the will of my Father to come to me. Repentance and faith. You see, that's what has to happen when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There's the listening and the obeying. You listen to what God is saying, hear it through His Word, read it in His Word. The Spirit of God convicts you of what you need to do, but then you must obey what He has said that you must do in order to be saved. Can't come up with your own plan. You're sunk if you do that. And it's not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Why would we not want to listen and obey? So if you're truly hearing and listening, I've got good news for you today. You are carrying that through in your life by doing what God says. So when I'm reading the Word and I'm sensing the Spirit of God say to me, you're here to listen? Well, I'm here to speak. And a verse becomes alive in your heart. A verse convicts you in your heart. It stirs you. You read that verse. You listen to that verse, but then you follow through with what God says that you are to do in that verse. There's no waiting period. You see, listening in the Bible is giving respect to the one or the authority who is speaking and then to do what that person says. You know what listening and obedience is all about? It's acting differently. Because if you listen and do not do what God says, you're really not truly listening. You're really not paying attention. It's kind of like the life of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4. He was impressed with God when Daniel told him about a dream that he had one night, and he said, it made me afraid. And Daniel talked to him about the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar was impressed with God, but he wasn't impressed at the time enough to repent of his sin. Now, let me share something with you in closing. This is not heavy today. It's eye-opening, and it is freeing. It's not I have to obey, it's I get to obey. I want to obey. What's the old song say? Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Whatever He says, I'll do. Whatever He tells me to think, I'll think. Whatever He tells me to speak, I'll speak. Remember, God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you because you listened to me, but also because you obeyed me. There's blessing that awaits you through the obedience. And now you know the rest of the story concerning the word listen. And now the true definition of what it means to obey. You can't obey until you hear, but once you hear, you must obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And Father, we thank you for the simplicity, the plainness, the opening up of your word to us today. And prayerfully now, this puzzle that we have wrestled with is now put together. To listen to you means that we are willing to obey you. And that's what you need from your children today, obedience. And in your heart, obedience is better, far better than bringing an offering or making a sacrifice to you. Obedience means we have listened and we have decided, even long before we hear what you want to say to us, we have decided in our hearts, I will obey what the Lord speaks. I pray today that this seed of your word falls on fertile soil and that a rich harvest comes forth out of people's lives. So that when we get to the end of life, we don't look back and say, I wish I had have been obedient, but we will say, I am glad I was obedient to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen and amen.
You've been listening to There Is a Hope, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Mark Howard, pastor of Christ Community Church in Bells, Tennessee. You can hear Dr. Howard every week right here on this podcast, where he'll be sharing a new message from God's Word that centers in the hope that you can find for your daily life in Jesus Christ. Should you have any questions about today's program or desire to share any prayer needs so that someone might pray for you this week, you may write us at There Is a Hope, P.O. Box 610, Bells, Tennessee, 38006. Or you may contact us by email at thereisahope@cccbells.net. And above all, it's our prayer that you remember that regardless of what you're facing in life today, there has been, there is, and there always will be a hope in Jesus.